Okay, here's a question often asked. Should I buy now or keep renting? The magnitude of the housing crash and constantly conflicting reporting have left prospective buyers hungry for a well-researched reference guide. Well, we have an author who has written such a book. Finance and real estate reporter Jane Hodges has just written Rent Versus Own, which looks to explain how the housing market works and breaks down all the pros and cons of buying and renting. The book includes dozens of success stories and cautionary tales from real-life renters and owners all over the country. Jane Hodges has written extensively on residential and investment real estate for the Wall Street Journal, MSNBC.com, AOL Real Estate, the Seattle Times, and many more publications. After living in 8 rentals, she's now a homeowner twice over and currently lives in a lovely ranch in Seattle. Jane, welcome to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
What got you thinking about this? I assume it's something that played out in your life.
Yes. I felt that I bought at the beginning of the boom, or maybe the heart of it, depending on how you define the boom years, in 2004. And at the time, I was having vehement arguments with a now ex-boyfriend who is still a very good friend, who grew up in New York City, had always been a renter, and just didn't see what the fuss about owning was. And I was interested in owning, but I wasn't, you know, sort of hook, line, and sinker on it. It's just something I wanted to do. And I just thought, you know, why are we at an interpersonal level having these arguments about homeownership as an institution? And as the boom and bust progressed, I realized everyone has these really strong feelings about what homeownership means that go beyond just the fact of whether you write a check to a lender or to a landlord. And I think with what's happened in the markets, I think it's something everyone's thinking about. What does it mean to own a home? What does it do for me? What am I projecting onto it? And I think we need to get clearer about that, all of us, so that it's a more satisfying experience and a safer one.
I find the book fascinating because it's not like rent, own, question mark. It is rent versus own, and you really don't come down one side or the other, because it seems to me in reading this, unless I've missed something, that there are cases to be made for both.
There are, and I it's true. You could say it's a failure of debate to not choose a side in the end, but I would say that, you know, there are probably parts of life for everyone where owning would make sense, renting would make sense, and it's sort of about getting clear on what those circumstances are for you. A lot of times people buy a home, especially first-time buyers, and they sell it within 3 or 4 years. Sometimes it's they sell it to move up into a bigger place, or their relationship status changes, but sometimes they just sell it because they have to move. So you could say if you spend 4 years in a home and you made a low down payment on it, which a lot of first-time buyers do, and you can't blame them because homes are expensive, so that means they've made a low down payment, they don't have a lot of equity, they're mostly making interest payments, and then they leave in a handful of years and they pay all the fees, the transaction cost to sell. You know, maybe they really liked living in that home and they liked owning and like being owners, but if you look at this idea that owning a home does something for you financially, For those people, perhaps it didn't do that. But we have this image that owning a home is both an investment and this consumer purchase that's for us to enjoy. And I think we need to get sort of clear on when that is and isn't true.
Right, because you talk about that investment status, and the question that so many people ask is renting really cheaper than owning? And I guess the short answer, but doesn't make a really good book, is it depends. It depends
right
on what you're looking to buy, and it depends on what you're living and what you're renting in currently.
Well, I mean, one of the things that's always been said about owning, and this is very often true, and there are dozens of stories of this that you could report or even just ask around your family and hear about, is this idea that owning is a forced savings plan, and that is true. But savings, if you think of savings and the rate of money you accumulate when you're saving, it's a much lower interest rate than when you're investing. One of the things that typically happens is that first-time buyers are usually in their early 30s. So at the point where people start to make real money, they typically become owners, and then they're spending a lot of their disposable income on owning. However, now that people are getting into their mature earning years and hesitating to own, you have to wonder if they're investing more money over time. When we start to hear stories of renters who didn't own, but they invested over the years and they came out just as secure as owners who had a forced savings plan. I say all this to you as an owner. I'm happy to own. It's part of my little plan. I'm in my early 40s. My husband's 9 years older. We refinanced our house to a 15-year, so we'd own it when outright when I'm, you know, in my mid-50s. He's in his 60s. We have a whole strategy with it. So I'm not saying people shouldn't own. It's just that since so many people become owners right at the part of life where they start to have enough money to play with anyway, you have to wonder, what if they got a great deal on rent, or what if for their circumstances or their frequent moves or their job changes, it made sense. So I just want people to think about this stuff. This is sort of what I'm trying to do here.
You think about renting, and there are many positives, obviously. One of the things that comes up as a negative is that you never know when you're going to have to move.
Right.
Now, you may say, I am happy here, and I would be happy here for 25 years.
Right.
The landlord may say, which you don't know, is usually a question mark, I only want them there for a year and a half.
Right.
So to have that looming is uncomfortable for many people.
Right. There is a certain uncertainty that could come with renting, and also typically, people give their landlords 30 days notice when they're ready to leave. They have a lease of a certain term, and then they get into flexible mode month to month. But landlords can also do that to you. I've lived in a rental, and I'm sure dozens of your listeners have, where the owner decided they wanted to sell the place, and
right.
So my roommate and I, with not a lot of notice, had to relocate. And I was living in New York at the time, and I had just quit a job to become a freelancer. I did not have the best credit. I was in my mid-20s. And fortunately, one of the places I was going to freelance offered me a job, so I could, and I took it because I needed to get another rental. And it was a very stressful time. And if that landlord hadn't sold, I could have just stayed there. But there are lots of people who do get put out by this. And there's also the matter of finding a rental that suits your needs. There's times when there's not a lot of vacancy in a market, and if you have to move, and it's one of those times, it can be very complicated.
I was struck by something that you said earlier about that this is stuff we have to think about.
Right.
And you talk about in the book, but we typically, if we're looking to rent, or we are interested, or even thinking, maybe just playing with the idea of buying, we latch ourselves onto a real estate agent. Now, obviously,
right.
Their job is to sell, but for that other perspective, is there a place that we can go besides your wonderful book to figure out what the other side of that argument is?
Well, I would say, and real estate agents, I've worked with some great real estate agents, and I have a lot of respect for real estate agents. A lot of them know their stuff. It's just that their job isn't to tell you don't buy the product that I work on selling.
Right.
I mean, it's like going to these car lot and asking you to go to the car lot and saying, should I buy a car or not? Well, what do you think they're going to say?
So, well, in all fairness, they also don't know what your personal situation is.
Right. They know what you say your situation
Absolutely.
Is. Absolutely. So I would say if you are really unsure, you could go to a financial advisor. And they, of course, have a stake in making sure you're investing, because depending on the type of advisor you go to, there's advisors who manage your money for you and take a cut. And there's advisors who charge by the hour, who I think they're called fee only. And they're a very good place to go, because they're just going to tell it like it is. And even if you decide to follow the strategy they suggest for you, you're going to go manage your own money. You're going to go to a E-Trade or Vanguard and do your own trades and stuff. So they're giving you the straight dope. I would go to financial advisor. I would go to a first-time buyer class. In a lot of states around the country, there are first-time buyer classes that are administered by nonprofits. These are usually state agencies, and you could tell when you see these classes advertised that that's who's running it. And these These first-time buyer classes are typically designed to prevent foreclosure, so they're about financial literacy. So if you go to these workshops and you learn how things work, you see what your credit score is, maybe you need to do a little more work on it if you're going to get a decent loan. Those are good places to go to. Usually the people who teach them, while they may come from industry, they're not really allowed to pitch you on coming, you know, to their office after the class for a loan. They're there to speak as experts of industry. So those would be two places that I would go. And then I just ask yourself a lot of hard questions about whether or not you're willing to change your lifestyle. If you are a renter and you think that you want to stay in the place that you're renting for a long time, maybe go to a smaller landlord, or maybe go to a large institutionally managed building that isn't going to sell because it's been on this corner forever and it's been mostly occupied forever, and why would the real estate investment trust sell it, you know?
Right.
So I think it's just ask yourself what your behavior is going to be. If you become an owner, are you really in town enough to do the fixes? Or if you're an owner and you think you might move in 2 or 3 years, maybe you should look at a property that could become a rental if you're going to move in 2 or 3 years, but you would like to be a landlord. But you have to factor all that stuff in, and you have to do that for yourself.
How much cultural pressure do you think people are under to buy a home?
I think people are under huge cultural pressure to buy a home. It's been equated with the American dream, although as a lot of reports have said, the original concept of the American dream does not mention home ownership. But there's this concept that if you own your own home, you have more control of your life. And to your point earlier about landlords being able to, you know, give you the boot when you renew your lease, that is true. However, there's a way in which owning a home is a tether. If you have a mortgage, it's the same bill every month. I think more and more people have variable incomes. They work on commissions. They have gigs. Their salary's been cut, so now they have a collection of income streams. They have a job and a side gig. We're in two in our households. We have two people who live like that. So you have the steady bill and these steady expenses coming at you at a time. And again, this is passing because our economy is a little funky. But at a time where a lot of people don't have that steady income that was the case decades ago when homeownership first became so sentimentalized, I would say.
Jana Hodges' new book is Rent Versus Own. It's published by Chronicle Books. Jane, best of luck. I thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us this morning. And again, best of luck with the book.
Thank you for having me.
A great pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Have a great day.
And to you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.